Hello, my name is Brian Novoselsky and welcome to the Over the Counter podcast. Today we are joined by Megan Brown, Clinical Associate Professor and Director of the Impact Center for Pharmacy Transformation at the University of Mississippi School of Pharmacy. Welcome and thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you so much for having me, Brian. It's great to be here.
Today we're going to be discussing the importance of expanding pharmacist provider status in the U.S., as well as the pharmacist's growing role within just the greater healthcare community as a whole. So more specifically on that, Megan is here to help Drug Topics celebrate National Pharmacist Day, recognized annually on January 12th. So to start us off, from your time as both a pharmacist and educator, to your experience through things like the COVID-19 pandemic and how far pharmacists have really come today, how would you say that the pharmacist status as a healthcare provider has evolved throughout your profession specifically?
Yeah, that's a good question, Brian. I would say that certainly from when I've graduated from pharmacy school, the focus being largely on making sure that pharmacists were able to immunize, to now really working directly with providers in adjusting medications and starting patients on new medicines related to cardiometabolic disease in my clinic. And even seeing the things that we're really encouraging our students to do in no matter what setting they're in, making sure that they have the opportunity to care for patients in the, I guess, best possible way. So I would say that certainly there has been an evolution of focus and really trying to figure out how do we best advocate for ourselves so that pharmacists can have provider status on a national level. I think the data is there, Brian. We've seen it over and over again, published in the literature, stories being told about what pharmacists can do and the added value that we bring. So I feel like it's high time for us to capitalize on the data that we have coupled with the synergy and the needs of our community to really see that this is the best time to go ahead and expand pharmacists' provider status on a national level.
Awesome. Very well said. I think you kind of touched on a lot of the important aspects within this whole kind of provider status issue within pharmacy today. And, you know, from my perspective, as a journalist kind of hopping in this space, it seems like pharmacy is at such an unprecedented time, but really pharmacists have been doing such great work for so long. And it seems like they're slowly getting their recognition. So kind of for those outside of the pharmacy profession, can you explain what provider status actually entails and why it really is the missing piece in fully utilizing the pharmacist's clinical expertise?
Yeah, I'd love to share about that. I mean, I think one of the biggest misconceptions about what provider status is that pharmacists are not equipped or are not doing these things. And so it feels to some as what they call scope creep, meaning, you know, we're infringing on someone else's profession by doing or having provider status. But in reality, Brian, it's just confirming that the work that we're doing right now deserves the monetary value for what we are providing. So for provider status to be implemented, you know, that would allow us as professionals to be able to bill and be paid for the services that we already are providing. So I think that's the major point that kind of gets misconstrued in my experience talking to and working with other providers. They love the work that pharmacists are able to do, especially when they get the chance to see what all we can assist providers with. So that can include, depending on, you know, your scope of practice or what you agree on, with a document called a collaborative practice agreement, which would just allow you to work under a physician. Here in Mississippi, we can work under physicians under collaborative practice. And as long as the provider and the pharmacist agree on what's in it, then you can do whatever is in that signed agreement. So in mine, for example, I can initiate, modify, and discontinue medications as it relates to diabetes, hypertension, other cardiometabolic diseases, basically. And I can do that under authorization of the provider. So with provider status, that would allow us to not only be able to do that, but then bill appropriately for those services. Because when I first started out, those services were being paid for by grant funding.
Awesome. Yeah. I feel like some sentiments, like kind of the greater noise is that, yeah, that scope creep that some people think that pharmacists are kind of encroaching, but really it's the fact that they've been left out and they're obviously the expertise, the evidence, like you said, is there. Well, while we can get into the debates on whether it's kind of like universally accepted, why might a patient like nowadays be better off making their clinical or community pharmacy their primary care destination as opposed to something like a physician's office?
Yeah, that's a good question too. I feel I have seen the evolution of community pharmacies really becoming a central healthcare hub, if you will, where pharmacists are, especially in rural communities, which is largely a focus as far as funding is concerned today. I know you've seen things, you know, in the news about rural health and transforming rural health. And I feel like this is a really great time for community pharmacies, as they have been for a long time in communities, to be the central hub of care. And I think that that is helpful because most patients, most Americans, live within 5 miles of a pharmacy. That's a statistic that's out there nationally. And I feel that with the access that pharmacists have to communities, that allows us to be able to take care of patients at a level that other providers cannot. And that simply has to do with proximity. I'm not saying we're just so much better at it, but just that there is a proximity that we have to patients that other providers don't. Additionally, patients usually come to the pharmacy, I believe, you know, between 8 and 12 times a year, right? And so the number of touches that we have offer an additional opportunity for us to not only dispense their medications, but to also talk to them about the status of their health conditions. And pharmacists are trained to be able to not only talk to them about it, but help them as far as making recommendations and making adjustments to their care on a more frequent basis than other providers.
Yeah, I think that's perfectly said. I love the nuance of kind of that proximity. Like you said, it's not necessarily like you guys are saying that your expertise is outshining anyone else's, but it's really just you want to kind of outreach to those communities and to those patients and give them care that they might not necessarily have access to. So speaking of physicians and the prominent medical organizations that represent them, you touched on AMA scope creep a little bit. What are your thoughts on other providers actively denouncing pharmacists' expansion of scope, and what kind of needs to be done to get all providers on the same page? So like you mentioned CPAs, and obviously there's a lot of collaboration across healthcare, but there's still are some kind of sentiments of, you know, keeping the pharmacists out. So kind of what do you think needs to be done there?
It's hard to say, Brian, and I don't know that I have all the answers, but I think we as pharmacists, the one thing that we can do is really talk about and tell our stories better. So talking about the work that we do in communities, I'm even guilty of, you know, because this is what I do every day and have done for over 10 years working with providers, nurse practitioners, working with patients, adjusting medications. It's normal to me. And I realize that sometimes I'm not talking about it because I don't realize that, you know, the elevation of my story is very important to move the profession forward. So doing things like this where we're able to really talk about the work that we're doing. And then I think, too, getting our physician champions and our nurse practitioner or PA champions on board to really also advocate in our direction. I think our strength lies in those who we work with and who are really elevating the work that they're able to do because we're helping them along, right? So for example, you know, some of our providers don't have to spend as much time, which they're not able to bill for anyways, with patients because they're bringing in pharmacists to also help, you know, bring the visit along. So if a provider can only bill for a 20-minute visit based on the level of work that they're providing that day, having the pharmacist come in for an extra 25 minutes and being able to bill at a higher level allows that provider to, you know, have time to document the visit and finish up the work they need to do while the patient is getting the best care because the pharmacist is going in and finishing the education and the, you know, talking to the patient about side effects or showing them how to work their, you know, device related to their health condition, whether that be a CGM or an insulin pen. So I think getting our physician champions or our provider champions on board to also really advocate in our direction matters, and then really working on a state level as well, because I think on a national level, there are, I think, things at play that maybe force their hand to go in a certain way. But I certainly believe that on a local level, that's not at all the sentiment that I've felt. And so I'm hopeful that we can really start to share our stories more, get our physician champions on board, our provider champions on board, to really also advocate in our direction.
Awesome. Very well said. I obviously advocacy, it's right next to, you know, expansion of scope and as far as kind of what needs to be done in pharmacy, along with a slew of other things. So I really appreciate you taking the time today. Kind of just wanted to cap off the conversation to see what really excites you the most about the pharmacy profession heading into 2026.
So I'm fortunate, Brian, to be able to work with students. And I think that the most exciting thing to me about the pharmacy profession is the future of what we have. And, you know, I was reading yesterday, I don't even remember what it was, and it was talking about how you build the world today for the world that you want to see tomorrow, right? So really working toward what we want to see tomorrow by investing in our students and in our future pharmacists. I'm fortunate enough to work with students and teach an elective called Beyond Dispensing, where we talk about clinical services or non-dispensing services that you offer in a community pharmacy. And nothing brings me more joy than seeing the excitement of our students create business plans where they have these really great ideas on how to elevate community pharmacy. And so that's what excites me most, is just getting our students riled up and excited and involved in the advocacy piece so that our profession can be what we see that it can be.
Awesome. Yes, very, very exciting indeed. I really appreciate you taking the time today to kind of discuss pharmacy as a whole, what's going on right now, and what's going on with the individuals that kind of make it run. Thank you so much for taking the time and joining me today.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.